brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys.
Get ready to learn everything you ever wanted to know and a whole lot that you didn't. It's time for a Chats episode.
Hey, welcome to this Chats episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. I am one of your co-hosts here at the table today. This is good old boy Mike. And joining me is good old boy Timmy.
Timmy!
How's it going? I thought I might escape that with Dave not here.
Well, you know.
I guess it's a staple.
It's your calling card now, man.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad my sound effects traveled with me.
Good old boy Caperton is here.
Yes. I certainly am.
Yes.
In mind and body.
Did you bring your hip waders for kudzu eradication today?
I did not.
I did not. To come in.
But it's starting to, yeah. It's never not kudzu eradication season. But let's just say it's really kicking into the groove.
Well, our chat segments are all about people behind the products or the services that we talk about here on Sip, Suds, and Smokes. Today's episode celebrates our co-hosts on our 10th season of Sip, Suds, and Smokes.
10?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the wrong button.
10 seasons?
Wow.
Yeah. It's a lot of good applause for that.
Yeah. Well deserved.
Yeah.
The co-hosts that we're chatting with today are good old boy Tim and good old boy Caperton. And if we have time today, we'll actually discuss some illegal sprinkles as our topic worth discussing.
Yes.
Best hashtag kind of Sprinklegate.
That's right.
All I have to say is do not type that word into a search engine, Sprinklegate. It will bring up some things.
Yeah.
You're not really quite sure what's going to come up.
That's,
so, you know,
that didn't leap into my mind.
Just a PSA tip.
Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, so there you go. It's all about us making sure that people stay safe out there, especially when you type over the word sprinkle.
It's suitable for work.
Yeah, that's correct.
Definitely not.
So do you guys remember how we met?
We?
Yeah.
You and I?
Yeah, you and me.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think so. Would it have been at Anjay's lab?
I think so. Yeah.
Anjay, a mutual friend, Anjay Belinsky.
I think we actually met at a few, at a beer festival.
I think we did too.
But,
Mike is larger than life.
I think the actual time that we got to know each other by name was at our tasting group that we
definitely
had.
So at the tasting group.
We had this amazing tasting group that we would get together, I don't know, like every week, like every Friday afternoon-ish. And
did I get to know you there too, Tim? I did, didn't I?
Sort of, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I started going there a lot. Yeah, like every Friday. Right?
So one of the leader of this tasting group was actually on an episode here of Sip, Suds, and Smokes.
Self-appointed leader.
Yes. Yeah. He is the yeast god, you know, for lack of a better understanding. If there's anything about yeast to know about on the planet, you know, definitely Anjay was one that knew everything about it. Had a lot of cool equipment that, you know, we'd love to sit around and just screw up and taste beer in his super clean room.
Yeah. So. With like warning stickers that you wouldn't normally like.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
there were, you know, like skulls and stuff on those stickers.
This,
man,
could be a biohazard. Like
not just a biohazard, but a skull and crossbones.
Yeah. It was,
Not and he'd be like, oh, beer. Yeah, go ahead and drink from that tap. It's okay.
We cleaned it. So we put it through the autoclave.
It's pretty clean. It's pretty clean.
So, Tim, did you just come along to the tasting group with somebody or with Caperton, or what do you remember? Or you just got lost in the basement and you went,
Sean,
where's all the
Sean beer?
Did
Sean introduce us, maybe?
It had to have been good old boy Sean. I mean, I can't remember who first invited me to beer talks, but then I know Anjay and I hit it off because I was working at a homebrew store and I had a bunch of yeast and like expired yeast and other stuff, and he would plate it and prop it up and do all these different things and bank it, and he was trying to build this. So we kind of hit it off that way, and I just kept going back on Fridays. But yeah, I can't remember if it was good old boy Sean. That would be my guess, but someone who was going there and knew said you should come by. And it was cool. Everyone bring homebrew. Or,
I tell you, it was mostly through their homebrew that brought us to this.
Or people that worked in the industry brought their own beers. Yeah, you know, that's true. It was a good...
He had speakers and stuff.
That was beyond a...
Beer talks.
Oh, God. Beer that talks. Was legendary. The spike when...
I was not there for that and one. Mike. Yeah. And
Mike. Oh, that was... You weren't there.
No, you've told... I remember you...
Yeah. He told the head brewer for a major southeastern brewery.
Major regional brewery.
We won't name, but he said, never brew this beer again.
Stop using fake extract.
Yeah. It was legendary. It was that guy, and the guy has a nickname that would lend you to believe that he's a pretty tough guy, but he was pretty thin-skinned that evening.
Yeah, that one cut deep.
Mike just like shut him down.
Your beer sucks.
You know what? I think we all agreed. You know,
we did. After he left the room,
I set it up. I asked him how many pecans. How do you brew with pecans? Yes. And he's like, "You brew with pecan extract."
That's exactly what he said. And I was like,
and we all visibly flinched. And Mike said, "Never brew this again. Never do this again."
Sorry. Call it a fake beer. So,
I wanted to know Mike after that for sure.
So Mike hasn't changed.
I was like, no, that's guy, for sure. Yeah, that guy. I got to know true. Him. And I wanted you to drink my homebrew too, because I'm like, this is a guy that'll tell you.
And I remember most is that, you know,
honest Mike.
A lot of people were bringing in homebrew, you know, for us to enjoy. And I think Caperton had like 27 versions of the same beer.
Basically the same beer.
I think if I remember
correctly. They got it right though.
What a legendary moment in time, though. I mean, we had so many great beers and such a wide variety of beers. Yeah.
Nashville we still had to struggle then, too. That, like, I don't want to sound like my parents walking uphill both ways, but we would drive to another neighboring state to buy beer.
Distribution was so bad at that point.
You had to really, and we really supported our local breweries. There weren't that many of them then.
Yeah.
And we loved those guys. And we,
for the most part. Such great times, though. And
I think Reverend Mark, did he go to those, right? Because I remember that's where I started drinking.
Reverend Mark was the one that dragged me in, to the basement. And
That was a part of the whole scheme.
Yeah.
Because remember, that was going to, we were going to start our own homebrew group, and we're going to get the blessing.
That's right.
Separate from Mark, who
was a big
Music City brewers here in town. Mm-hmm. And nobody knew why we needed another. Like, it was confusing, but
who
knows?
But
so we actually had like that entire tasting group on an episode, I think at least one, if not two. And
just discussing that.
It was a very challenging day, from a lot of perspectives. It was incredible. That was like one of the most expensive episodes, because the beers we had were all like $35, and we had eight of them that day. And
I didn't go to that one.
Yeah, I missed that one.
Yeah.
And I think that was that episode that everybody was
I wasn't there. No. Yeah. Was it during the big share? Your big share?
No. It was not during a big
Mike
share.
Mike used to host a big
It was the same place
charity
we did pick
bottle
big
share.
Yeah.
New Year's, right?
But it was. And I remember it was one of those moments where, as a producer, sometimes you have people on and, that person just doesn't translate, as well on microphone as you would like for them to. And I remember walking away from that day, having this moment of being very excited that I had everyone that I wanted on the show. But then there was the other part of me going, these people, most of them, I love, I admire them. I'm so glad they were on, but having them on the radio show, just
listen to the scientists like, talk about beer is not that exciting, like, is it? Could
be tough. But I remember walking away going, Caperton's the one that I knew would be able to jump the leap into doing this a lot more. And so, you know, I really invited, you know, Caperton to come and do some more episodes with us, and one turned into two. And so when you think about some of those early days, how many episodes did you think you'd be on, Caperton?
One. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. And you guys kept
asking me to
come back.
There was a dress code or something.
I was like, I liked you guys. You know, it was like, come drink beer with us. I was like, okay.
Tim, how many episodes do you think you would be on?
One. Yeah. Same answer.
I think I played a little bit of a role into talking Tim to come into this.
I think so. Yeah. I think you're the one that got me to finally come and record.
I was like, man, I gotta get you in there.
Vaguely knew Dave and Juliana, and it was. And I remember Mike sent like a little guide or something before, and I was like,
the do's and don'ts.
Yeah, the do's and don'ts, exactly.
Right,
I was like, I had no idea.
If I got that, I didn't read it.
Oh, I read it all, and I worried about it. I was like, well, what if you say those things? What if you do this? And I was like, they're not going to like
you.
Seriously,
don't read it.
I mean, they'll like you as a person, but they're like, why isn't he talking?
We're drinking. What could go wrong?
Yeah, well, like Caperton said, I was like, well, if they want me to come back and drink more really good beer,
yeah,
I'll go back and drink really
with cool
beer.
People drinking
yeah,
beer.
Yeah, exactly, with really good people you want to hang out with.
Talking smack.
So if we just want to put headphones and microphones on while we do that.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, seriously, what could go wrong, you know, when you're doing that all the time, you know?
Exactly. It's a great way to spend the day. So
it is. Well, we are drinking today, and I'll introduce these beers very briefly before break. We're drinking Firestone Walker, Breda Tangerine, and we're having Little Fish. And I'll introduce the last beer right after the break.
Clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, welcome back to Sip, Suds, and Smokes. On today's chat episode, I'm chatting with good old boy Tim and good old boy Caperton. We were just talking about beer, which is something we do a lot of. And I was introducing the beers we have in front of us today. With the
rudeness of time cut us off.
Get to chat about these. So, again, we're having Firestone Walker, Breda Tangerine. We're having a beer from Little Fish Brewing out of Athens, Ohio, called Runcible Spoon. It's a mixed fermentation. And we're having something kind of, I don't know. Do you call it special? I thought it was pretty interesting.
Very special.
So I pulled something pretty deep out of the cellar. It is Jillian from Goose Island Beers, and this is from 2013. So I know that we usually don't tell you how, you know, what day we recorded this, but this beer is almost 10 years old. So
that's pre-Budweiser Goose Island.
It was pre-acquisition, and wow.
They don't make this beer anymore.
This beer is incredible today.
Am I correct in saying that?
I don't know. Honestly, I haven't kept up. All those Belgian series beers.
Mike and I were talking. I think only beer that we pay attention to, that they, I shouldn't say this, but it's true, is there's one beer and its variants that we now pay attention to from this brewery.
But yeah, they did, you know, they had a lot of that Belgian line. And I think it didn't, I just remember not doing well. And I remember like I don't know if it was Lolita or one of the other ones, and some stores around here were selling the 750s for $5.
Oh, that was Turok.
Was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I bought them all.
And I bought a case.
Yeah.
I bought a ton. Okay, sure.
Like, and I didn't.
Oh, yeah. These are shelf turds.
Totally. Yeah.
Thanks for shelving them for the first 5 years.
I thought he was just being nice, you know. I didn't realize it was like nobody was buying that stuff. I was so good.
But I haven't seen this.
Yeah.
This label.
No,
very much.
Well,
any of the sisters.
I thought the Goose Island was just outstanding.
Yeah,
I mean, it was crazy good.
It's warmed up now. It was.
Definitely when we first opened it,
it was right away.
Caperton and I were standing right there together, and I heard the CO2 pop, and I'm like, oh, hey, there's carbon still
holding a lot.
And I wasn't expecting that. But it really held well in the glass. It just had this kind of pleasing, breadiness, kind of funk, about it. And it was just so incredibly well balanced. It was everything that this beer was released like times 10.
Yeah.
It was really good.
And still doesn't taste 9.5%. So,
mm-mm. Yeah. No, that's crazy. Incredible.
Not at all. Yeah. Well, we've talked about a lot of things on the show. And so I'm dying to know, what are some of your favorite memorable moments? Caperton, can you think of one?
I really dug doing the Kudzu report early on. That was a lot of fun.
It is one of my favorites.
It was kind of fun for it to be a recurring kind of thing, and there was confusing fan mail from people wanting to know if I really hated Kudzu. I mean, that was pretty good stuff, man. I mean, I talked about that at work. I was like, I do this thing and it's like a comedy thing, and people are like, they don't know. It's like totally Andy Kaufman-esque. It's like nobody knows if I'm serious.
But I mean, you do hate Kudzu.
I kind of hate it.
Kind of hate it.
I do.
Well, yeah. This is a clip from that
episode. It'll get you guys. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
The name of this episode is called Night Moves, featuring the killer Kudzu robot.
Oh, I set up the... Yeah,
and,
that's good.
So this particular episode, we were talking about Night Shift beers from Boston.
Which I was just there.
He was just there a couple weeks ago. So here's that clip.
Great.
Vine that eats the South. And there are a lot of people that are concerned about this.
There are.
This is.
And people who are not concerned should be.
Don't mock this, guys.
No. This is the Kudzu Report.
The Kudzu Report. Good people, I'm here to tell you, this is good old boy Caperton.
I sound so young.
I'm here to tell you that the fight against Kudzu, the slow motion green tsunami continues. As we've already discussed, this noxious vine can consume entire communities, and that includes your backyards, my
That's
friends.
True.
I know the fight against this greed scourge is arduous and exhausting. Trust me, I know.
Tell us, brother. Tell
it's exhausting.
Preach.
The invasive vine.
Like I needed encouragement.
This green invader is persistent and tireless.
Oh my!
But fortunately. Fortunately, we have some very smart folks around the globe, because this is a worldwide problem.
This is.
As far as I know.
Yes.
As far as I know, still.
Very smart folks are working overtime.
Amen.
And that's good. That's good news. And they're going to provide us with effective weapons in this fight, such as profiles and courage.
Yes.
Yes.
Researchers at the Oklahoma State University have recently developed a robot with artificial intelligence to help in the eradication of the green menace in question.
What could go wrong?
True. Do it.
I read this on the World Wide Web, and there's nothing but truth.
There's nothing but truth out there.
Anyway, this robot, along with its amazingly developed robotic brain, is outfitted with a chainsaw and a healthy dislike for Kudzu. That's an artificially intelligent killer robot, folks, equipped with weapons.
Chainsaws.
Tasked to the fight. This has to be safer, I would imagine, than a herd of goats, which the state of Tennessee, that's what we're using here, folks.
Nothing against the goats, but come
on. This is a killer robot with a brain.
What could be better than giving a robot a chainsaw?
Exactly. And a brain.
Yes.
Okay.
What? There's absolutely zero things that could go wrong.
I'm agreeing.
Not at all. Not at all.
Good old boy, Dave. You're 100% right.
I can't think of any movies that might have anything.
There's no problem. Not at
all. Zero downside.
True got to witness this.
Evil robots with weapons and brains are definitely our friends.
But you know, as long as the kudzu's dead,
we made them.
What else matters?
That's all that matters, man.
We made them. How could they not be our friends? They work for us now. I think we should get more of them to work for us, to be honest with you.
They'll never use those chainsaws for evil.
The thing I loved about that whole, the whole segment. So I
think what, getting into character as we speak here.
Was it what?
Is, get the ticker tape.
Was the karate sound effects. I don't know if I was doing
was
those
that Juliana or
if
who
that
was
Dave
that
had loaded those, because it sounds like something I would do. Wah! The whole time, you know? Because I just had, like, you know, the robot from Star Wars that
they were
know,
encouraging
spins
there.
The, you know, spins the laser, you know, around.
Well, yeah, it's when your friend, you know, your friend really gets going on a topic, you just kind of set them up and watch them unravel.
They encouraged me to yeah. lose my mind there.
You well, prodded.
It was one of those moments where
I see why they did wanted to know if I really hated
well, people
it.
Need,
I sounded pretty passionate.
People need
there.
To know more about the kudzu. And that's, yeah.
Well, you know, we're
you're right. I do hate it. I got a little fired up. Listen to that, man.
We are starting nationwide kudzu eradication groups. So look for one near you or call 1-800-ERADICATE-KUDZU, okay?
Yeah.
So.
Strength in numbers.
I'll talk you through it.
Strength in numbers.
I'll talk you through it.
Yep, that's for sure. Well, I love the idea, but it was just the whole delivery that you've done with all the kudzu reports, but especially that first one. I was like, oh my gosh, this is such a less than stellar idea that is going far better than I had
you
ever
loved
planned.
It. You called you I, what was it? The master abater?
Yes, it was a later episode. It was three episodes, three kudzu reports in, and that you came up with that term.
Oh, did I?
Yes, you said I am the master abater. And figures. So I came up with these t-shirts.
That figures I said it.
That you can order, by the way, if you would like to have one called the Master Abater, which are
They're
all
safety
about
safety green.
Yeah, safety green, correct. About eradicating or removing the kudzu vine.
It's
so,
like that eye popping, you know.
It's oh, it
like
is. It
work
is really
on the roadside
yeah,
with
the,
those
the high
things.
Viz.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
I can hear thousands of census or sensors, you know, with their finger right on the button right now, going, right. "What did he say again? Master abater.
Master
yes,
abater.
So, yeah, I'm going to enunciate that pretty clear.
I can't remember what this. Was it a pickle? No, it was. I guess it was kudzu you had on.
Yeah,
there
I had kudzu
something.
Vine yeah, all over yeah, it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Tim, what was your favorite episode?
Well, I was thinking it wasn't really an episode, but I think we recapped it and talked about it. But when a bunch of us on the crew went down to the Shelton Brothers Festival in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of a nice like team building.
Yeah.
It was a good moment where no one got arrested.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying no one should have been, but yeah, yeah, we didn't have to blow the annual budget on the bail again. But just like, I mean, it's a thing of the past now, right? So, I mean, obviously.
Shelton Brothers is gone.
Yeah. It is no more. That is correct.
Yeah, for the good and the bad, I thought that one was pretty neat. And it was fun. The three of us drove down there and went to the Porter Beer Bar. Down in Little Five Points over there.
I was so
and,
drunk.
Man, I'm trying to remember what
so
we...
So many great beers.
I think we were incredible. All pretty hammered.
And that's a great
there.
Whiskey bar as well. You know, is they, it really? They have incredible really? Whiskey choices there at the Porter, yeah, Porter Road Bar. Yeah,
the food's good too. I mean, that's a solid...
At that festival, I remember like those, not the very beginning, but that was the first time I think I had Spawn maybe from Jester King and you... could just get so much of it. It was incredible. Yeah. You know, I remember the Canteon lines were crazy, but you stood in there and got like, I think we had 2007 Iris and
yeah,
all these, I don't know. It was just a really
unique
moment.
You got in the Canteon line to sober up. That
yeah,
was my line.
Exactly. That's exactly. You got a solid pour somewhere and then you go stood in the 30 minute Canteon line.
Get yourself
line,
some and water said, and get yep, in the Canteon
I
line.
I did that today. Let's move on.
Well, I managed to sit down and pull what I thought was one of my favorite moments of you being on the show. And, you know, sometimes your co-hosts come up with terms for describing something that you just never really thought that they would use those terms.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite absolutely by far is good old boy Justin. I mean, who would use the term pine shavings in describing it in a whiskey? But the what I love about
a
this
man,
is...
A man that's been around a saw.
That's right. So, there you go.
So here you have Tim. He is, you know, a brewer's brewer all day long. And he comes up with this description in this episode, which is called Advanced Dishwater Tasting. And here is Tim to describe this moment for you.
I mean, wet hops,
dishwater?
Though, yeah, it does. It tastes...
Next time you wash the dishes, invite me over.
How much dishwasher you been drinking?
Too much. Too much.
I think that's the basic problem here. It's not the beer. It's him drinking the dishwater.
You want me to waste water?
Mel has to like push you away from the sink every time she's washing dishes.
Chandler's not a wasteful fella.
Yeah.
I just want to say that our co-hosts go to the extremes for sensory training, and you chug dishwater just so you can tell people exactly what it tastes like.
I know what this tastes like.
You know, I was drinking some dishwater the other night, and I was thinking, man, this tastes just like a cool ship with wet hops. It smells
like store brand dish soap.
How'd you learn what mouse urine tastes like?
Yeah, that's the hard way.
That was a good point, Tim. Sort of
is there more beer?
I mean, wet hops, you know, they're touch and go. They can go bad. I stand by this beer not being...
Okay. It's not your jam.
It's not my jam.
That's okay. What was the beer? Do we know?
it was like a cool ship wet hop beer. I can't remember. Maybe, yes. I don't know if it was an Allagash. I don't think so because I like Allagash beers.
Right. And no, bad. It was Plan B. It's the name of the brewery.
Isn't that a birth control pill?
No. Plan B. It's not, Plan B brewery is.
Yes, it is.
Well, Plan B is a drug, but no, this was a brewery. So
well, that would explain the taste.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what level of Cicerone do you think that is to have the ability to discern?
Negative 3.8.
No way, man. That's super ninja level. Yeah, that's exactly. What that is.
They would be removing your tattoo.
Plus, you know? I got to stand by what I said earlier. You know when you taste
when you taste it, you know.
We've all had a little pop in our mouth while we were washing a glass or something.
Because it was just... You were saying it with such conviction too. Like,
oh,
you
know, I stand by it. Like, wow, absolutely.
I know what dishwater tastes like, and well, this is it.
What about working the dishwasher at a commercial kitchen, and then when it just opens that drain and dumps it out, you smell and you're like, you smell something, you know the flavor.
Mm-hmm. With you, Tim,
hundreds of people eating food.
So, tell us a little bit about your day jobs, Tim.
Well, I talk about beer on here, and I drink beer many evenings at home, and I deal with beer all day during the day as well. Just a beer sort of guy, but yeah, I'm a head brewer at a brewery here in town, and been in the industry about as long as this beer that we had earlier is. Since the time I've been here in Nashville since 2013, been working at a couple of different breweries and whatnot, so that's where I learned how to taste dishwater.
Cool. Cameron, tell us about your day job.
My day job, I've worked in healthcare, specifically in surgery for 30 years.
Thirty years.
And it was at surgery that I got into craft beer. Is 100% correct.
Oh wow!
Good old gal Michelle, who still hasn't done an episode, but we've. She's done the paperwork.
Honorary good old.
She got the list of do's and don'ts. She was like, she was checking beers into Untappd one day. And I said, what are you doing? She said, checking. This is an app, keeps track of my beers. And I was like, well, how many beers are there? You know what I mean? Like,
and there
I
was can, trend,
I know the two or three, like
4,850.
It's not entirely true because I had friends that worked at Yazoo and stuff, and they had been on me for years to come drink beer, and I just never did. And and she was telling me that she was checking in the 30th beer that she had from that brewery, and I called her a liar. So that's a lie. Many beers.
That's like an afternoon for her, you know.
Who had 30 beers back then?
I don't, it's probably Sam Adams or something, yeah. You know,
the variety pack.
Yeah. But it was, yeah, that was through working in surgery and for mostly here in Nashville. But
so you get access to all the really good drugs that can kill you every day. Is that right? Basically?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Why
no.
am I the only one that is deeply concerned about that?
Yeah. They don't give me, they don't, yeah, don't worry, Mike. They're way ahead of you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not how you make it 30 years.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Impose the lockout. Caperton's walking in the room
yeah,
again.
Yeah. Yeah. I avoid the stuff at work. Yeah. That's like the pros. That's not my, yeah.
So why is Saison your favorite style of beer?
Because it's the best. easy question.
So what makes for a bad Saison then?
What makes for a bad Saison? Well, you know, I'm trying to think of a good example of a bad Saison.
We don't have one here tonight.
I think, well, we don't exactly, but I think what I would think of as a bad Saison's not necessarily doesn't make it bad. It just doesn't fit my sort of idea of what a Saison, but you could make it too strong or boozy, you know, because I think Saison should be quaffable, you know.
Well,
so.
I remember this one time I was in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and I was at a place, I think it was called the Beer Study. And they had a lot of Zebulon in the you know, drink there cage. And I grabbed some of Zebulon being, Caperton and I have bonded over one of our favorite breweries. Very few I don't like. And I had the Experimental Forest. And I remember having it, and it was so funky that it was beyond what I liked. And so I texted Caperton, I'm having this now. I said, am I allowed to say that it's too funky? And he said, no.
I mean, no.
I was like, I don't like it. He's like, no, is not too much fun.
It's not a valid criticism.
So I don't know what makes a bad Saison for him.
Huh. You could probably ferment it too cold, not let the yeast do its thing. And a more specific answer.
Was that the moment that you decided not to solicit Caperton on what you should or should not say? Was that basically it?
I guess I expected it, but I was blown away. And it hurt me to say this is a Zebulon that I don't want to drink. But, you know, that happens.
Beer was so good.
But on the flip side, see, other people enjoy it.
Yep.
Hey, we'll be right back right after this break. It's not just the destination. But baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, welcome back to Sip Sudden Smokes. On today's chat episode, we are chatting with our co-host, with good old boy Tim.
Timmer!
And good old boy Caperton as well. And so we've been enjoying these beers. I have to say, I went back to the Jillian, and it is just...
Yeah, I'd like to go back to that
one. It is really, really, really good. And I have to say all day, it's a Suds 5. I mean, holy cow, this beer is just so well-balanced. You know... Caperton, you said you thought the carbs really come off. I think the carb is still all there.
No, it was with the Firestone.
Oh, the Firestone Walker. Yeah, that one's a little bit, a little undercarb. No, you can keep it over there, Tim. I know you've killed it. Well,
I left the dregs for.
Yeah, really great beer for sure. So, Caperton, I know that music is just like this very common, you know, force foundation with you. So I got to know, what are your top three bands.
Top three bands?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. See, now that's, you're getting, it's.
Is this like asking your favorite child?
No. I still listen to bands. So I'm going to say, I really like Wet Leg. I like the new Wet Leg album.
Wet Leg, okay.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to this, Mike. I will say, when it comes to bands, like collective people,
yeah,
in a common goal of making music,
it could be
which
just
I
an
don't.
Artist. How about your top three artists? How's that? So,
ooh,
which could be a band.
Velvet Underground,
okay,
for sure, is like is number
one. That's not a band.
Yeah,
is it not?
Yeah,
Velvet Underground. But you were so quick to say that.
Well. It's like
when he said
I kind of came off of it a little bit and realized yeah. that there are a
there's
couple.
People rolling their eyes listening to this. Right? Yeah.
I kind of went from what I'm listening to now to my favorite.
Right.
Because I've listened to Wet Leg now, but you know, it's Wet Leg probably. I just kind of flew off the handle there. Well, Velvet Underground.
I'll check
right.
out Wet Leg.
Yeah, check out Wet Leg.
All right.
They're coming soon. Velvet Underground. Composer Lamont Young, who was also affiliated with the Velvet Underground, Lamont Young and, oh gosh, Mike. Yeah. I'm trying to think of someone a little more contemporary. There's top two. Right. Yeah. Wow. And the Experimental Forest was dedicated to Lamont Young.
Was it?
Boom. I couldn't dislike that beer.
Yeah, right? Okay, like, I'll give that to
I
you.
I mean, there
I'll
were a lot of you. Reasons why you need to know that I was like,
can
yes.
I say it's too funky? Too funky. Yeah. No.
Yeah. No.
Well, we're not going to be able to get to our topic worth discussing today. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. Then you can read the whole story at the link. So this baker in England basically was using sprinkles, and it was declared illegal to use. And so,
they were U.S. sprinkles is the part you're missing.
Well,
yeah, because we use stuff here that the rest of the world won't let us, you know, because it's bad. It's a carcinogen.
There's nothing like a pissed off baker. That's all I have to say.
Speaking of Anja, he would have had a lot to.
He
probably should have heard that guy talk about green beer. You'd
so
hide under a rock.
The name of the bakery was called Get Baked, which Caperton really loved.
I misread that. I thought it was about something else. Yeah, illegal sprinkles, but it's illegal coloring.
Yeah,
illegal sprinkles.
Illegal coloring.
Kush.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd love for you to catch up the rest of this whole story online. I will include the link on our show notes. And if you will use the hashtag Sprinklegate,
I also feel like
you too will be on a short list of being indicted as well. So there you go. Yeah.
I could have really gotten us in trouble.
Yeah, check it out on your burner phone.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to swing our attention to chat with Tim. So, Tim, I always had this impression that you had other plans other than being a brewer. So what were those original plans, man?
Wow. That was a lifetime ago.
Yeah.
Well, first is probably like a professional athlete or an astronaut or something. But then out of college, I was in the world of Latin American human rights, if you're familiar with that
okay.
subject. Mm-hmm. So I studied, yeah, it's a...
Toke twice, push once.
No, come on. There's a book about that, though.
About what?
your brother wrote, didn't he?
Yeah, my brother wrote books about...
Weed. So you were going in the family business?
Weed trade.
No, I was not going in the family business. But yeah, I was doing sort of studying Latin American politics and things like that in college, and had a job like that after school. And then I moved out to the Bay Area and worked at another nonprofit sort of thing, and just got bored, you know, like sitting
like
doing
every other job that people have.
Exactly. And so I was really getting into
and
craft
you thought
beer.
The thrill of pulling out spent grains all day was really going to be that thrilling.
Yeah, well, when you get big enough, there's a machine that does that for you.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, that's how you know you made it big time.
I want to see that machine, man.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, my shoulders are getting weaker, but
the machine I've always seen has been a guy down there before.
Yeah, Caperton. Not anymore. That's not anymore.
Sure. New generation, man. You guys are getting it figured out. Boy.
Yeah, we're getting soft though. We're getting soft.
It's
you know?
Okay. Look so, at me,
Tim. What kind of beers do you like to make on your own? Like when you're doing homebrew?
I do a lot of like. Barrel age mixed firm stuff
okay
at home just because a lot of the places that I've worked don't have that sort of barrel program, you know, which is fine. Everyone has different priorities, and that takes a whole other set of equipment and hands and everything. So I do a lot of that stuff at home and kind of scratch that itch, so to speak.
Well, I have to say that one of the other beers I almost pulled for us to share was from Logsdon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So those beers were so good.
Incredible.
And one of my favorite
beers. Yeah, incredible. I know. And that was why I almost pulled it. Yeah. And, but yeah, if there was probably a beer that I can see you making, I really love for you to make like a Belgian strong that's finished off in a Chardonnay barrel. Yeah. That's you all day.
Yeah. I did. I started messing around with, mostly, I guess, whiskey barrels, and then would turn it to like neutral oak to do some mixed firm stuff. But I really, really enjoy, I worked at a distillery for a little while in my career too. And I really enjoy working with barrels and over there, even we did sherry finished things and cognac and
now port. You're making love.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's what I love is the blend between the different spirits and alcohols is just adding that sherry flavor into a beer or a port flavor into a whiskey and things like that.
So even in this short period of time, about 10 years, you've been on three different brewery setups. Is that right?
Three breweries and a distillery.
Yeah. So, what's your favorite brewery configuration and why, other than the button to clear out the spin crates?
Yeah, that's number one, the automation right there. Don't have to clean out that.
So you're saying you're brewing by cell phone now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, not quite on that level, but somewhere in between that and moving every valve and motor yourself. I guess, I don't know. I mean, they all have their advantages and disadvantages. I'd say the worst thing in breweries is floors that aren't well sloped and low points and places that, you know, because you're just hosing everything down, washing all the crap, you know, doing your cleaning cycles, and places that I've worked that have corners that are just notorious for somehow getting liquid and just sitting there and
getting funky.
Yeah. The only good brewery is a clean brewery. So
should smell like bleach in there.
Or something like it. Yeah, some sort of chemical. It
should be one of the
mold and wild yeast and bacteria.
For sure.
So I'd say that, and then like automation is nice. But it's also nice to remember, like, you're the brewer making the beer. So,
is there like that beer that you walk around and go, yo, man, I made that, and it's up on the tap wall that you're just sitting there at the bar and go, what do you think of that beer? I made that.
Not really. I mean, no, I don't have one, just because there's so many different people that are sort of involved in the making of a beer, and I'm not trying to be cliche, but like, whether it's recipes are rarely written by one person. Like, a brewery is not a dictatorship. It's not an authoritarian. To bring it back to my Latin American politics, you know, it's not an authoritarian regime.
I sort of find myself thinking like Mike's saying,
a military junta. Like
my beer, yeah.
Yeah, it's but like, you don't go to a brewery and look and say, oh, that's Caperton's beer, that's Tim's beer, that's Sean's beer. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, maybe the places I have worked, it's not really been like that. And I also know from the process how easy it is that any step along the way gets messed up and the beer's derailed. Like, I can make the greatest beer in the world. It doesn't get carved up. Caperton has it out at a bar. It's the worst beer he's had ever, you know, like things like that happen. So to be honest, like, I don't know. I take pride in all the beers that I make. So anywhere that I am, like, I like it to be. But at the same time,
even if you're going to make a beer you don't like, you want to make it well. Is that what you're saying?
There's not a tons of styles I don't drink, but
is that a trick question?
I don't know, but I'm coming up with a phrase: Timitudes. These are so Tim. Like, his responses are so Tim here. These are great responses. Yeah,
Melissa has a word for it. Timisms. That's what we call them. Okay. Yeah, we call them Timisms.
I would call anybody that says it tastes like advanced dishwater, it should be a Timism for sure.
Yeah, that's number 13.
Mm. Well, I know you're a huge tea fan as well, and we've not gotten around to a tea episode, but What are some of your favorite tea regions or favorite blends?
Oh, that's a great question. I like a lot of green teas, I would say. But actually, the tea that I drink most is yerba mate, which again, we'll bring it back to my Latin American politics strengths. But I did study abroad in Argentina, and then even I drank mate down there. So yerba mate is it's not a green tea, but it's very similar. It's from this other bush that grows in South America. So it's drank a lot in Uruguay, Argentina, Paraguay, Brazil. That's mostly it. Maybe a little bit of Bolivia or something, but it's basically a strong green tea. It's often drank out of a gourd traditionally. It's a very social beverage when you're down there in South America. I studied down there, and so it's also like a very caffeinated beverage. And so studying it, you just have this gourd there, and you just drink it over your whole study period, and it's amazing.
Way better than energy drinks.
Yeah, absolutely. Some people do add sugar, but otherwise it's more healthy. Don't drink it on an empty stomach. It'll tear it up.
I have no idea what is your favorite food, and why is that?
I like them all. Timisms. I really like a lot of Asian food, and I'd say Mexican food. Those are probably my two favorites.
So are those things that you cook all the time, or you love just going and ordering those foods?
Yeah.
We got a lot of great choices about those around here.
So, sort of both. Yeah, I cook maybe more Asian than Mexican, but I remember right out of college being a little poor and making beans, rice, and chicken to last about a week for lunch and dinners and things like that. And then you start spicing up, you know, the beans and speaking Spanish, learn some tricks from some people, things like that. But that's also where my love of beer kind of came out, or at least I guess like the idea behind flavors and blending flavors and balancing flavors and trying not to achieve a dishwater flavor.
through food?
Yeah. I used to cook. My mom, there were three boys, and my mom would always cook a lot. And so she would teach us to cook. And I think balancing flavor, that's one of like the most important things in beer.
Cool, man. For me. I didn't come to beer through, and you know, Dwayne, our friend, I think Mike knows him too, Dwayne Schaff.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
He's also a chef, a really great brewer. And he always would like his comparisons to beers, like he would bring them to, he would bring food comparisons a lot of times.
And yeah. Well, I mean, a specific dish you can try to balance, or even, you know, you're adding protein to starch to vegetables. And
there you go.
I'm such a utilitarian cook, you know,
malt, it's hops,
like, you know, little Kraft booze, macaroni and cheese kind of guy.
Kraft mac and cheese.
Well, I am such a huge fan of the late James Lipton from Actor Studio, and I always wish I could have answered those closeout questions.
Oh, yeah.
But now it's your time with Tim. So we're going to alternate here. I'll start with Tim. So what's your favorite word, Tim?
Bonanza.
Bonanza. Wow. All I can hear is the theme song. All of a
sudden. I'm too young for that, but otherwise, who's had a bad bonanza?
Yeah. Caperton, what's your least favorite word?
Canceled.
Ooh. I like that. Caperton, what turns you on?
Oh, friction. Red flags.
Friction. The master abater.
That's what I'm hearing all of a sudden. Let's see.
Guys, so dirty.
Tim, what turns you off other than Caperton's last response?
I was going to say, hearing Caperton say friction.
Friction, baby. That's where the heat happens.
Yeah, that and dishwater beers.
So, Tim, what sound do you love?
That first beer you've been anticipating, and that CO2 crack you get.
That's exactly. Yeah, for sure. Let's see, Caperton, what sound or noise do you hate?
The sound that nacho chips make in my head when I'm crunching them.
Okay.
All take right. a look. Take a listen to that the next time you eat
now,
some chips.
Now I'm never going to be able to eat nacho chips forever. Yeah. All right. Caperton, what's your favorite curse word? You can say it on this episode.
Oh, that's, yeah. The classic is sucker.
Oh. Okay. All right. And so, Tim, what's your favorite curse word?
Went deep.
Sucker's pretty good. Yeah.
Went deep.
I'd say head.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, Tim, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I think it'd be cool to be a school bus driver sometime.
How about it quickly?
I like that guy on The Simpsons.
Yeah. How about it quickly, Caperton?
What?
Your alternate job.
Oh, dude, I'd like to work in brewing. I would.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us for this episode today. I want to thank you both for being here. Thank you, good old boy Caperton.
You're welcome, man. This is fun.
And good old boy Tim, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it was a blast. Awesome beers and great time.
Wow, school
thanks
bus.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, I can hear you flunking the exam as we speak.
Sit down back there.
Yeah, no, I think that's why I'd like Don't it. I'd never get hired. There. Yeah.
I have to pull this bus over.
Hey, this is good old boy Mike asking you to come back and join us for another exciting episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. Remember Sprinklegate, and I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.